Blog Talk Radio.
Arena Football Nation, welcome to the final week of the 2012 regular season. I'm Evan Vlad. I'm joining you straight from the AFL League office in Chicago, Illinois. And with me is BJ Picard. BJ, how you doing today?
Oh, man, I'm doing tremendous.
Tremendous.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, we always started off the weather. It's been raining quite a bit here in Chicago, but
Looks very humid.
Yeah. Beautiful Friday afternoon, though, in Chicago, Illinois. The sun is shining, and we're getting ready for some great matchups. A week 20, it comes down. We have a couple of playoff matchups that'll put some teams in the postseason. It'll take some teams out of the postseason. So the playoffs start now.
Can't ask for much more than that.
You can't. We announced earlier on today that Avite Arena Bowl 25 has been pushed back to 10:30 p.m. Eastern time, and I'm not opposed to that kickoff time.
Oh, you get to see your boy Tebow in action beforehand, so.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with the Gator Nation joining us, watching Tim Tebow, and then after that game, we have an even bigger show, Avite Arena Bowl 25. So the kickoff will be at 10:30 p.m. Eastern time on NFL Network, and that will be August 10th, 2012.
Yeah, and I mean, as the commissioner said in the release, there's any city that's equipped to handle a late-night party, it's definitely New Orleans. So it should be fun either way. You know, if the game is anywhere near as exciting as last year's Arena Bowl, I think it's going to be well worth the wait staying up for that. So, you know, it is what it is. So we'll be down in New Orleans, and I've gotten a ton of emails from fans saying they're coming down and excited to interact with you guys.
BJ, explain to us. We'll start this off. Obviously, a big week, like we said, in playoff scenarios. So briefly run down. The national conference is set. We have our team set. This weekend, the games you need to key in on is the Tampa-Spokane game. And Tampa controls their own destiny. If they win, they're in.
They win, they're in. If they lose, there's still a chance they get in, but they need some help. That Georgia-New Orleans game, that could very well be a playoff game, you know, because the winner is going to get in, and the loser maybe won't, depending on what happens in the Tampa game. So it's going to be fun to watch.
I'm excited, and we got to see what Brian Moniz can do. I mean, he came in late, we saw, and Kurt Rocco. But Moniz, he came in late. He started three games, and this is one of his biggest of his career.
I think it is the biggest, you know, because you win, you get into the playoffs, and if you lose, you had control, you know. You had so many opportunities to get this done, get into the playoffs, get it over with, but you know, all three of these teams, they just haven't done it yet. So it's do or die. Week 20, this is it.
And that game can be seen Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time on Ustream TV, the AFL channel, ustream.tv/AFL. And you can also catch that Tampa Bay-Spokane game Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. And the one matchup I'm looking at there, Joe Hills, came in and he was with Spokane when the season started.
He was.
And now he's going to be returning. Tampa has a long trip out to Spokane.
Yeah, that's tough. It's tough to travel like that to play in a different time zone, and especially in Spokane where the crowd is always so loud. They definitely have some home field advantage out there. So it's going to be tough for Tampa to go in there, but they certainly have the talent to do it. Joe Hills is playing out of his mind right now, and he's been a great addition to the Storm. And they still got Prisciè Rodriguez. Even without Nick Hill at quarterback, Stephen Wassel has stepped up, playing like the player they expected him to be when they traded for him before the season started. So they're going to need big games from all those guys, plus the defense is going to need to step up and disrupt Kyle Rowley's rhythm for Tampa Bay to win that game out in Spokane.
Joe Hills was actually listed in this week's award. He was the Cutter's Catch of the Week winner. Fans are going crazy about that Joe Hill, so this will be a big game for him, and we'll see what he can do in that one. Give us a call, 347-324-3225. We want to hear what you think. What do you think about this weekend's matchups? A lot of, like we said, a lot of playoff games essentially start this weekend. Let us know who has the edge, New Orleans, Georgia. We're going to see the Tampa Bay Storm in the postseason. You think Derek Brooks is making that trip to Spokane?
Well, I think it's a very big game for the franchise, getting back into the playoffs potentially. And, you know, going along with that, we've gotten a ton of comments over the last couple of weeks about playoff tiebreakers, about how there are teams in the National Conference who are going to end up with better records than teams in the American Conference and not make the playoffs. And, you know, we've heard people say, oh, we should go back to the top eight teams with, you know, the best records should get back into the playoffs, not necessarily division champs. And, you know, here's the thing. The teams out in the National Conference, like Chicago and Spokane, it's been a difficult schedule for them. They have certainly had a rough strength of schedule for their season, but it comes down to you got to beat the teams in front of you, you know? Yeah, nobody's debating that Chicago and Spokane have very talented teams this year, and maybe they could beat some of the teams in the South Division that are going to end up in the playoffs, but you got to beat the teams that are in front of you. You know, if you're Chicago, you got a great team, but you lost to San Jose twice and San Antonio twice. I don't see how you can stake claim to be in the playoffs if you, you know, can't beat the teams in your division, in your conference.
Turned into an upsetting season for the Chicago Rush. We thought that they'd be storming into the playoffs. So, Spokane Shock, another disappointing year for rookie head coach Andy Olson. Andy will be back next year, though.
Yeah, and I mean, Spokane's got it real tough because they got the three teams in the West Division. I mean, that's the toughest division in the AFL this year. And both Spokane and Chicago had to play all three of those teams out west. That's tough to do. You know, it's life isn't always fair sometimes, though. You know, you got to take care of business. You want to be in the playoffs, win your division.
Looking in from the beginning of the season, you look at the teams that didn't make the playoffs. What's the biggest disappointment? I mean, you had the Orlando Predators 3-14. Pittsburgh Power, they had a lot of hype coming in. They finished 5-12. And we actually heard a lot of noise out of Milwaukee, and those teams are out.
Yeah, I mean, Orlando and Pittsburgh obviously had a unique situation, but Milwaukee to me was most disappointing because, that's a team that had a ton of talent. And admittedly, they had a number of injuries. I mean, Gino Gidulli, the poor guy, was throwing to different receivers every week, and his top offensive lineman was injured midway through the season. But, I mean, that's a team that lost, six, seven games by less than a touchdown, something like that. Great teams find a way to win. I've always believed that for as long as I've been involved with sports. Great teams find a way to win. And I've been kind of a doubter of the San Antonio Talons this year just because nothing they do impresses me terribly. But, boy, they find a way to win every single week. An 11-game win streak. If they win this week, they're going to end on a 12-game win streak, which is an AFL record for the most consecutive wins to end a season. You know, they may not electrify you with statistics, but they find a way to win.
Would you say that Talons are the biggest surprise of the 2012 season?
Yeah. Yeah, to me, I think they are. I think they are, because I figured the Talons would be about a 500 team, maybe a little above. But, you know, Aaron Garcia is just, he's 41 years old and he's still playing out of his mind.
And we'll go ahead and take a caller from the 954. That area code sounds familiar. 954, how are you today? Who do we have calling?
What's up, Evan? This is Ian calling.
Hey, Ian, how you doing? Thanks for calling the show. What's on your mind today?
I was just wondering, you know, with the Tampa Bay Storm Spokane game coming up, how big of a game is that? You think the Storm have that Arena Bowl loss on their mind?
And that's actually interesting that you bring up. Arena Bowl 23, 2 years ago in 2010, the Tampa Bay Storm, they did the same thing they're doing today. They traveled out to Spokane, the long trip. Everybody had the Tampa Bay Storm to win that game. They lost. And, you know, it's a different team. It's a different roster. I don't know that they had maybe the one guy that they had on that squad was Tom Coleta. So it's a different team. Is it still on their mind? Most certainly. I know Dave Yort has to be reminded. I mean, that was a very disappointing loss for Tampa Bay. It's a huge game regardless, and that trip, that takes a lot out of you.
Yeah, so
it's going to be interesting to watch. So and also, the Storm need that win for a playoff berth.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. Thanks, Evan.
Hey, thanks for the call.
All right.
And so we have that, too. We look back at that 2010. Arena Bowl rematch, 2010. Yeah. Kyle Rowley's still out there.
Kyle Rowley was Arena Bowl 23 MVP.
Played great that game, and you know that game's on Kyle's mind. So he's thinking about that. So, fans, give us a call, 347-324-3225, and give you another opportunity this week. Today we unveiled the voting for the Rydell Defensive Player of the Year Award, and fans have been voting all week. Fans have been crashing our website.
Yeah, it's actually been tough to get some work done. But, it's great that fans are participating like they are. You know, people can complain all they want about the vote early, vote often system, but the fact is people are going to the site, they're speaking their minds, they're commenting on the polls for write-ins, and it's great to see arena football fans share their opinions because, you know, we say it every week, fans are the most opinionated, involved fans in sports, and we love interacting with you, so don't stop sharing your opinions and voting in the polls because it'll certainly be taken into consideration when the awards are ultimately doled out.
And those votes count. We have voting ends this Sunday. It also ends for teams. We have ballots in the hands of team media departments, team head coaches, and the fans get the vote. So that will close on Sunday. We have left on the plate, we have, like we said, the Rydell Defensive Player of the Year Award. Voting starts today. Tomorrow we will kick off Russell Offensive Player of the Year Award. That's a huge award. And it will conclude with the National Guard MVP of the Year Award and frontrunner for that award.
Well, I think the frontrunner for the Russell Offensive Player of the Year Award is, to me, it's a no-brainer. It's Tommy Grady. And the guy's having just an unbelievable season. National Guard MVP, I think, is an interesting one because when I think about an MVP award, that means most valuable player. That means the player you take away from that team, it's not the same team without him. I think Jesse Schmidt's had an outstanding season with Iowa, but you take Jesse Schmidt away from Iowa, they're still not a playoff team. So I think Jesse Schmidt would be a guy that's in the running for Russell Offensive Player of the Year, but not necessarily National Guard MVP. Tommy Grady, Nick Davila, Dan Rodabaugh is another guy that could be a dark horse. You know, Dan Rodabaugh quietly had the best season of his career. He's got the sole score on more points than any team in AFL history. He's got him at a 14-3 record, and they got home field advantage in the playoffs. So, you know, I'd take those three guys probably for front runners for National Guard MVP. The one that's really interesting to me is the Rydell Defensive Player of the Year, because I think there are a handful of really good options. You know, Joe Sykes, obviously, with the sack record. Then you got Alvin Ray Jackson and Kent Richardson, both have snagged 14 interceptions. Alvin Ray Jackson being a jack linebacker doing that, that's pretty impressive. When I look at Chicago rush linebacker Kelvin Morris, every time I've watched that guy play, I said that guy is the best player on the field. Doesn't matter who they're playing. I see number 11 or 37, as the case may be now, and spot him, he's just better than everybody else. And another guy that I think should get some consideration was Terrence Sanders with the Spokane Shock, because before he got hurt, that guy was on fire. He was winning awards every week. He had a three-interception game against Dan Rodabaugh and the Philadelphia Soul in Spokane earlier. So when you play that well against the stiff competition like Philadelphia, I think you merit some award discussion, you know, regardless of being injured.
My picks for awards, I beg to differ. I think Aaron Garcia is the National Guard MVP this year.
That is a very fair discussion to have, yeah.
You take him away from that team, he's their coach. He calls their plays. He has been doing it year after year. If the Talons had another quarterback in there, they wouldn't get it done like they're doing. And they're Arena Bowl contenders in their first year. What he did to that franchise in the first year, I think he will be the National Guard MVP. Russell Offensive Player of the Year, I do think that goes to Tommy Grady. Rydell Defensive Player of the Year, my pick is Joe Sykes. Net 10 Head Coach of the Year, Pat O'Hara.
I can't argue with Pat O'Hara. One more win and the Voodoo are going to be in the playoffs, and they will have tripled their win total from last year. Pat O'Hara has done an outstanding job. My personal pick, Ron James, Utah. First winning season in franchise history. They have an opportunity to clinch their first division title in franchise history this weekend. And it's just he's assembled and coached these guys up over the last 3 years. It's just been really impressive to see the transformation.
No knock on Ron James, but Matthew Sauk has a lot to do.
That is very true as well. Matthew Sauk's a heck of an offensive coordinator.
The J. Lewis Small Iron Man of the Year Award, I'm going to give that the reigning Iron Man of the Year, P.J. Barry. Does it year after year. He's something that Pittsburgh fans have to be happy about. That's their one thing, P.J. Barry, and I think he gets that award again. I know we've seen some Iron Men, some true Iron Men this year that play both ways. I know we talked about it this week. We had the Huey Whitakers. We had the Jason Holman. I do think that P.J. Barry will win the award back-to-back years. Net 10 Rookie of the Year, Tyson Poots.
Tyson Poots, that's an interesting pick. I can't argue with it. I'm going to go... Tyson Poots has just lit it up for the 10 games that he's been there. Boy, he's been impressive. I mean, you imagine what he'd do if he was in there for all 18 games. The statistics would be crazy. My pick, Jared Perry, Chicago Rush wide receiver. He has totaled the second highest receiving yardage total for a rookie receiver in AFL history. My pick for a net 10 rookie of the year would be Jared Perry at this point. Going back to Iron Man, real quick, I'm going Marcus Everett. Milwaukee Mustangs, plays wide receiver and jack linebacker.
Marcus.
I like him. The guy never leaves the field.
Your boy.
My boy. UCLA.
Fans can also vote on the AFL Hall of Fame, the 2012 class, the newest Hall of Fame class, and voting ends Monday at noon Central Time for that. So get your votes in. Those votes count. We do have a Hall of Fame Operating Board of Directors call scheduled for Tuesday, and we do have a great lineup on that call that will they'll pull all the voting, all the Hall of Famer voting. They'll pull all of that information together and come up with the final decision. We have Jay Gruden on that call, Cincinnati Bengals offensive coordinator, and also longtime involvement in the Arena Football League. We have Commissioner Jerry Kurz on the call. We have founder Jim Foster on the call. We have Philadelphia Soul General Manager Tom Goodhines on the call. We have...
I mean, it's a long line of great AFL minds. You know, this is something that we don't take lightly with the Hall of Fame induction. And fans have been voting all the last month. And it's a tough choice. And it really is tough to narrow it down because all these guys are very well-deserving of acknowledgement in the Hall of Fame.
Hub Arkush is also going to be joining us on that call, so we'll get the opinion of a pro football writer to see who he thinks should be in. G. Nudo will also join us on that call. So that's the list of the Hall of Fame operating board of directors. That decision will be named Tuesday. The announcement will come at a Vitae Arena Bowl 25 in New Orleans. And I'm gearing up for New Orleans. I'm excited.
You are excited. I can tell.
I'm excited. I'm excited to get to the big
here real quick. It's going to be fast. I can't believe the season's gone so fast.
July 20th.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah. Season flew by. And it's been an exciting one. It's a lot of surprises. And the most interesting thing about this season have been the records that we've seen shattered. Completely shattered this year. I mean, Tommy Grady, what he's doing in Utah is remarkable.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You have Philadelphia, who scored more points than anybody in AFL history. Mark Grebe is cementing his legacy with the numbers that he's been putting up. And Aaron Garcia never ceases to amaze with his ability to stand upright and keep going hard.
And he will go on to his 209th game this weekend.
It's crazy.
So that is an AFL record. He surpassed Lawrence Samuels last week. And while we're talking about these guys, Grebe, Garcia, and I'll throw Dutton's name in there, is this their final AFL regular season game? Okay, we'll start with Dutton. Is this John Dutton's final regular season game? The thing is, we saw last week, we saw Matt Pacener come in and start. This week, they're going to be going back with Dutton.
Yeah. And you wonder, is that a sign that it's a last hurrah for Dutton? I don't know.
Steve Dunn said he can still do it. He can still play. It's going to come down to Dutton. My feeling is this is the last game we will see Dutton in, and they'll play at home in front of a home crowd in Cleveland, and that one is Saturday at 7:30. The Chicago Rush will travel over to the Q.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this might be the swan song for Dutton, and I think it's going to be the last regular season. He has completed his last regular season game. Mark Grebe, I think this is going to be it for Grebe in San Jose. Aaron Garcia, I don't know. I see him sticking around. I don't see arena football without Aaron Garcia.
And Garcia said the other day he doesn't think playing till he's 50 would be crazy. Playing till he's 50 years old.
Dude's still slinging it like he's 29, so why not?
He just loves that competition. He's a competitor.
He is, and he's assembled a nice team down there in San Antonio around him. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the playoff run. But, yeah, I honestly fully expect to see Aaron Garcia back next season.
We had, and we're continuing to name the top 25 players of 2012 as voted upon by AFL Fieldpass subscribers. Some of the big notes, we had J.J. Raderink in at number 23. Kelvin Morris, your boy, in at 25. Why wasn't Kelvin Morris higher?
You know, I really don't know. Kelvin Morris has tied the AFL record for interception return touchdowns in a season. He's had four this year. It's tough for a Jack linebacker to get respect just because they're such a tweener position, I think. You really have to put up eye-popping stats to get noticed at that position. But Kelvin Morris, I think, is one of the best in the game. And J.J. Raderink being on the list, he's had a rough season. 50 sacks. He's been sacked 50 times. That's an AFL record. Crazy, but he's still putting up numbers.
Go ahead and go to the phones. We have the 319. How are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent, Evan and BJ. How you guys doing?
Wow, that voice sounds familiar.
Thank you for the last broadcast of the regular season. I would make an appearance on Blog Talk Radio, Reading Football Friday Radio. I had a question for you guys. You were actually on a topic that I'm very interested in because for tonight's broadcast, and you know, for those who may or may not be familiar with my voice, I'll be on the air. This is Anthony Herron. We'll be on the NFL Network tonight, 7 Central, 8 Eastern. The top five players. It is very interesting that you guys happen to be on this topic as I was calling in because the top five players of 2012, we're going to debut that on the air tonight during the broadcast. I'm curious about the fullback position because it gets a little bit underappreciated around the Arena Football League. We haven't seen Derek Ross on the list yet. Now, I'm curious about that as a discussion topic. If you think the value of fullback is high enough where people have voted that into the top 25, or do you think maybe Derrick Ross won't make the cut?
I think what Derrick Ross has done over the past two seasons and what he's done this season, I think he'll be in the top five.
I think Derrick Ross is in kind of a world of his own in the fullback position. But, I mean, he's had back-to-back 30-touchdown seasons. It's the first time in AFL history that anybody's done that. Really, what he's doing is unprecedented in our game. But, I mean, he has games where he rushed for 21 attempts earlier this year. He rushed for 84 yards, 83 yards in a couple games. He's a good football player. I think arena football fans take notice of that. I think we see Derrick Ross in the top five.
And that just makes his soul that much better. I mean, it adds a totally another facet to the game. I mean, you got to worry about Dan Rodabaugh. You got to worry about these top-notch receivers, and then you got Derrick Ross coming out of the backfield.
Exactly. It changes the way the defenses have to prepare. I think Derrick Ross is – his season this year, I think it's worthy of certainly top 10, if not top 5 consideration.
I'm excited about the broadcast.
To quickly get to a separate topic, the playoff matchups going into this weekend, there's still a lot of mathematical possibilities at play. I'm sure you guys have already touched on it. I didn't get to hear the top of the show. But going into this weekend, if you're a team like Jacksonville, and even most especially, if you're a team like Philadelphia, Sunday night facing a hot Utah Blaze squad, do you take your foot off the accelerator a little bit because you have a lot to lose, potentially more to lose than you do to gain going into the final regular season week, knowing that you've got your playoff hopes already solidified, or do you got to keep that momentum going?
I think the Jacksonville Sharks need to win that game because they want to play at home.
Well, exactly. Jacksonville has a lot to play for because they can clinch the South Division title. They would also become the first team in AFL history to win the division title in each of the franchise's first 3 years. That's a pretty cool statistic, and I think Jacksonville is going to want to wrap up the South Division in that first home game in their game tonight on NFL Network. But Philadelphia, I don't know, that's an interesting one because I think you have a potential Arena Bowl matchup Sunday with the Utah Blaze. You know, what do you do? You talked to Coach Plank a couple weeks ago. How do you take the foot off the accelerator with, you know, the roster limits? The match, it's tough.
Coach Plank won't. A guy that intense, he won't. He wants them to roll into the postseason with a lot of energy and to be fresh. I mean, I think some guys, if there's a lead, I think he'll pull some guys out, but I don't see Coach Plank resting anybody for the entire game. But, Anthony, thank you for the call. We're going to have to hit the road here. Thanks for joining us in another edition of Arena Football Friday Radio, the final one of the regular season. Make sure you tune into NFL Network tonight. Thanks for listening, fans.